This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. My guests this morning are Stephanie Seligia Soulseed, founder and director of the Just Garden Project, a program of Seattle Tilth, and Brian Sellers-Peterson, leader of the Just Garden Project's Food and Faith Initiative. Stephanie and Brian are here today to tell us about the work of the Just Garden Project to build a just food system and a culture of gardening for all people. Welcome to you both.
Thanks. Thank you.
What is the Just Garden Project?
The Just Garden Project is a program of Seattle Tilth that builds subsidized food gardens for low-income families in their homes.
And what led to the Just Garden Project being started? What is your history?
In 2010, we put an email out to the Seattle community about a celebration of the gardening that's already happening in Seattle. And we hosted community meetings to kind of listen to the community about what that celebration should look like. And what people said over and over again was, if it doesn't include food justice, we don't want a party. So if it doesn't include helping people access food, there's no reason to celebrate. So we created an event that built free food gardens for low-income people in their homes. And we were very successful and ended up building 10 gardens the first year and had a list of 15 more people who still wanted gardens by the time we were done. So we went to Seattle Tilth and United Way to ask for some support to keep the program going. And in the last 4 years, we've built over 100 gardens. So now we're a program of Seattle Tilth, which is a really excellent place to be. And in 2012, we actually brought on our first AmeriCorps member, and we have had an AmeriCorps member for the last 2 years as well. So Josh Calgill is our AmeriCorps member right now, and he's doing excellent work, and they're an additional amazing partner.
Would you like to say a few words about Seattle Tilth and your connection to Seattle Tilth's other programs?
Yeah, Seattle Tilth's mission is to educate people to safeguard our natural resources while building an equitable and sustainable local food system. So they have programs that deal with everything from the soil to growing plants. They do a lot of classes, and they also do cooking and nutrition. So our program fits right in there, as we actually bring food gardening and education right to people in their homes and their communities.
Would you say more about how you're set up and how you operate on a practical level?
We build in people's homes, so that makes us different than like a pea patch or a community garden or something like that. We build actually in people's homes. So we do outreach at food banks and Head Start programs and neighborhood community centers, things like that. And people who see our signs self-identify first as low income and second as somebody who wants a garden in their space. And they contact us either via the website or email or phone, and they apply for a garden. And once we have 2 to 3 gardens in a neighborhood, then we put that neighborhood on our build calendar. And we always like to build in community, so several gardens at the same time in the same neighborhood, because after we build the garden, we follow up with 2 free education sessions for the folks in that area who've gotten gardens with us. Each of our gardens includes 1 to 3 raised beds, soil, seeds, starts, a growing guide, and those education sessions that I talked about. The other thing is it also includes the people close by that got gardens at that same time. So you have a little bit of built-in community support too.
Which neighborhoods have you built gardens for so far?
We have built gardens as far north as Shoreline and as far south as Auburn. And we've built them in Ballard and all the way over east to Redmond. So we've built all over King County. Right now we're getting ready to build in, we're going to be building a garden on March 13th at Reunion House on Capitol Hill. And that's a garden at an SHA housing. So several people will be using that garden at the same time. We're also going to be building on March 29th, several gardens in the Lake City neighborhood and one in Wallingford.
Your website mentions several institutions for which you built gardens, institutions that serve low-income people. Would you say more about that project?
Well, 2/3 of our gardens go to people in their backyards, and 1/3 of our gardens go to community centers and groups that serve what we call at-risk populations, folks that are at risk of being hungry or have a harder time reaching services. So we have built gardens in churches, in senior homes, in apartment complexes, in day centers for developmentally disabled adults, in permanent homes for developmentally disabled adults, for food banks, different things like that. So we always reserve a big chunk of our gardens to serve a wider population, including feeding programs, things of that nature.
Have you been able to build gardens for all the people who have asked for them?
We're doing pretty good. We always have a list. The longest anybody's been on our list, I think, is 2 years. So it takes us some time sometimes, but we really do our best to get to everybody on our list. But the list always is growing. So right now we're kind of on par with the need, I would say.
Earlier you mentioned that you serve people who self-identified as low income. Do you have a definition of low income that you use?
We have a matrix that we get from the food stamp program. There's a matrix that they use that you can just look at to see before you go in that says, oh, okay, I make that much and that's how many people are in my home. And so we use that and it's on our outreach flyer. It says, you know, if you make $1,075 and there's one person in your home or less, and there's one person in your home, then you qualify, and so on and so forth, up till I think 11. So it averages about $650 per person in the home is our number that we go by.
What kind of response have you gotten to people when you've done outreach at the various places you mentioned earlier?
We get a really good response. The people who contact us when we go into communities and let them know about the program, people intuitively understand what a powerful program this is. When we give people a garden, we're giving them an opportunity to grow food. And over 87% of our gardeners, once they have their garden, have the ability to give food away, which is really powerful for the populations that we're working with, because if you're used to always like worrying about, am I going to have enough? To be in that state in the summertime of, I have so much, here, take some, please, is a very big transformation, and it's really powerful. So we get a great response when we talk about this with people.
The people that are able to give food away, are they giving the food to their neighbors, or who are they giving the food to?
Yeah, most commonly it's neighbors and friends, and in some cases it's also the food bank. It just depends on the communities that folks live in and what's easy for them.
How do you decide which geographical area to go to?
We try and do as broad of outreach as possible, and then we choose our areas based on where we have the most people signed up. So we always encourage people, even if you don't see your neighborhood on our "We're Building Here Next" list, to sign up as soon as possible, because you could be the next build after that list is complete.
What kind of response have you gotten from the families that you have reached? What kind of comments have they made about how it's affected them?
That's probably the most powerful part about this work, is that when you give a family a garden, you're giving them so much more than just food. We have one gardener that has come off of 2 of her medications since having her garden because she's had so many vegetables. She says, I just have to eat them 3 times a day because there's so many. And if I don't, then they'll go to waste. And through that, she actually came off of 2 of her medications. And we have other gardeners who talk about how, specifically, there's a garden that we built on First Hill that's in a senior home. And it's a pea patch style garden where several of the seniors have their own beds, but then they created a garden in the rest of the area for everybody. And every time I go there, the response is, you made our home beautiful. Thank you so much. Like, we never came out here before, and now it's our favorite place. And there's always new people out there, and they're smiling. And it really impacts the community in a big way. We also have built for folks who are chronically homeless. There's homes in Seattle for the chronically homeless. And the response in those gardens about the therapy that the garden provides will bring tears to your eyes.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Stephanie Saligia Solseed, founder and director of the Just Garden Project, a program of Seattle Tilth, and Brian Sellers-Peterson, leader of the Just Garden Project's Food and Faith Initiative. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Well, you mentioned the comments that people have made to you, but you've also evaluated your success through surveys. Would you like to talk about what your results have been?
One thing is our average garden is 3 4-foot by 8-foot raised beds. And we have estimated that you can grow up to $650 per year worth of vegetables in those beds. So that's a huge impact on somebody's grocery bill over the summer. Through that, 92% of our gardeners have reported that they're eating more vegetables than before they had a garden. And they've also said that their eating habits have changed because of their garden, which is extremely powerful. 74% of the gardens just from last year, but 84% since we started Give the Food Away. We also do the USDA Hunger Survey. And the impressive thing that comes from that survey is that people report getting more exercise, having more time outside, and that their gardens include their children, and that they worry less about their children's eating habits because of the garden that we built.
In addition to the families, have you gotten comments from the organizations that you've built gardens for?
Oh, definitely. Full Life Care is a day center for developmentally disabled adults, and they did a whole article in one of their newsletters about their garden, which included talking about how weeding helped the adults work on their fine motor skills. So that was really exciting to learn about, and they were able to donate a lot of the food from the garden to the local food bank, which is also exciting. At the United Indians Youth Home, the garden has become a place where the greater community has been able to come and connect with the youth home, and it's become a bridge really between the youth home and the greater community, which has been really a dream of the folks there for a long time. So the feedback from the community centers and things like that that have the gardens is always extremely positive.
What have been some of the challenges in implementing the program?
Well, we started in 2010, and it was kind of just this wild idea. We just wanted to throw a good party, really. And so as we have gone through the growth of not just throwing a good party, but also learning what this project needs to be so it's really effective, I think the challenge in the beginning was we were giving the gardens away, and then people weren't necessarily using them. So now they're not free anymore. Now they're subsidized, and it's $25 per raised bed. And we see a lot more success because of that. And we're able to waive the fee, so it should never be a barrier for people. And we also do payment plans. But really, having people have some skin in the game makes a big difference. The other thing that we realized is that the barriers to gardening are time, education, space, and money. And so our program really takes away that barrier of money and then also the barrier of education. And when we started, we didn't really do the education. So as we've grown and as we've become more a part of Seattle Tilth, the education has come really up to the forefront as a very important piece of what we're doing.
What is your vision for the future?
I just see us getting better and better at what we do. And as far as the future vision, you know, I really believe that this program is something that can be and should be in every major city in the country. And so any changes that we do, I see it towards the goal of making this something that we could replicate anywhere. Because when people are growing their own food, it helps our communities be more resilient. I mean, this is good for our low-income families, but it's also really good for the community as a whole. I mean, if for some reason all of the grocery stores shut down or the roads shut down and we couldn't get food in the city, some say that we only have 3 days worth of food in Seattle. So the more people who are growing food in their backyards, the more food secure our whole city is.
So you've alluded to this already, but what do you consider your key accomplishments so far?
I think that the number one accomplishment that we have is the empowerment that we see in the people that we serve. We help people go from having not enough to being able to produce through their own energy what they need to not just survive, but to thrive, to really eat healthy and feel like they can do something good for their health. In the last 4 years, over 3,000 people have eaten food from Just Garden Project Gardens, and that's huge.
Let's talk now about the Food and Faith Initiative. What are the goals of the Food and Faith Initiative?
The fact is, our sacred places, our houses of worship, churches, mosques, synagogues, they own a lot of land. They're one of the largest private landowners, and we're seeing more and more of them growing food to put into the food bank system, to use in their own soup kitchens, feeding programs. And this is a way of bringing people together to share best practices, enthusiasm, encourage each other. But it's also to encourage them to, you know, reach out to their neighboring congregations that aren't necessarily good stewards of their land. There's a lot of money spent by religious congregations, you know, what you would call mowing and blowing, mowing the grass and blowing it in the line item. There's probably a lot of money put in there for fertilizer to make those green lawns look beautiful. And more congregations really want to put their values into action very close to home. And if you think about it, many religions revolve around food. You know, there's the proverbial potluck. But even there's religions that, you know, really central to their worship and their identity and their doctrine is food. You think about manna from heaven or the Eucharist in the Christian tradition. And so food is something that not just binds people from all religions together, but it also is something that all of humanity identifies with. So this is really a great on-ramp for congregations to be involved in the larger food justice movement here in Seattle and take advantage of programs like the Just Garden Project. And so what we're doing is, you know, these churches that do a lot of canned food drives, you know, how much better it is to not just gather cans of food, but also to grow food and take that fresh produce to the food bank for their at-risk neighbors that need help. And so by building gardens with churches, that will help empower them to serve their neighbors is one of the primary goals.
What led you to start the Food and Faith Initiative? What's your history?
Well, I have worked in international development pretty much my whole career. And when you go overseas, you use a lot of church land to feed communities. And so whenever I would come home, I would see a lot of land not being used at all. And then I would come across congregations that really didn't have any land at all, but they were being creative. There is not a single religious institution that can't grow food. Now, they may not have a stitch of grass, but, you know, they could put in some window boxes or they could build a vertical garden. And I've even come across a couple of churches that are growing starts in the middle of the winter inside their buildings and donating them to the food bank. So in many ways, we're just limited by our imagination. And so this is a way of encouraging churches to share what they have with others.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Stephanie Saligia Solseed, founder and director of the Just Garden Project, a program of Seattle Tilth, and Brian Sellers-Peterson, leader of the Just Garden Project's Food and Faith Initiative. What specifically has the Food and Faith Initiative done so far?
We are brand new, so okay. I think one of the most significant things we've been able to do is to just start identifying all the congregations that are already growing food. It has really been gratifying, the turnouts that we've just had a couple of meetings, but people are showing up. They're starting to call in and ask to be put on the list for the Just Garden Project. So that's one of the activities. And then spending a lot of time letting people know about the resources that are available through Seattle Tilth. I visited one congregation and they had this lovely little garden that they put in for their preschool and they had a little picket fence. It was clear all they had done was turn the soil over because there was a lot of grass growing in the middle of the vegetables, but they were so proud. And I said, you know, have you heard of the Garden Hotline? And they had never heard of the Garden Hotline. And, you know, I really should have that phone number memorized.
633-0224.
206-633-0224, Garden Hotline. But the Garden Hotline, you know, you cannot stump the people on the other end of the line. And so just, you know, giving that phone number to religious congregations that are just getting out there and trying something, but they need a little encouragement, need a little help.
Do you have specific goals for 2014?
Yeah, we'd like to build 10 to 15 gardens on church properties that serve either food banks or meal programs, something like that. And we also have a goal, I think, of 30 churches on the list. So we have a listserv with emails that go out monthly, and we have quarterly meetings and things like that. So right now we're really in a building phase. So our goals are really around bringing people in and bringing people together. Another really exciting thing is we were approved for a Jesuit Volunteer Corps member. So when they get here in the fall, we plan to really start building kind of the structure around the program and seeing what kind of support structures are needed to really help this movement of houses of worship becoming producers of food and really making an impact on our local food system that way.
We've been really fortunate to have as a partner the School of Theology at Seattle University. They have a program for interfaith and ecumenical. And, you know, they are doing so much there in terms of edible landscaping at Seattle University, which is a religious institute run by the Jesuits. And they've been extremely helpful at helping us get off the ground. So it's not just congregations. There's just a lot of other church properties, camps, conference centers, monasteries. There are even a few cemeteries that have grown a few vegetables.
What do you hope your projects will accomplish in the long run?
I envision a future where we walk down the road and there's food growing everywhere and nobody's hungry. And our children and our elders and everybody in between knows how to do things like trim a tree, a fruit tree, or harvest, and when the right time to harvest those fruits and vegetables are, and that like our food security really comes from the ground up, like literally from our soils here right around us. And the future is abundant that way, and it's really tastier. And when you look at health related issues and poverty, obesity and diabetes follow our low-income populations, follow our neighbors, our brothers and sisters who have the least are the ones that also happen to be the biggest and the least healthy. And so I really see the garden is a great meeting point. Everybody can meet in the garden and find health and thrive there. And so that's my vision for the future as these projects grow together, along with this greater food movement that really is a movement. I mean, we're just one small project of many across the country. I see access to food really coming from our own backyards and front yards and sideways and byways.
Would you like to say more about how you see your efforts fitting into efforts to change the food system as a whole?
You know, we're really concerned about so many different environmental issues. And climate change is something that, you know, I'm just not looking forward to what we're going to be leaving behind for our children and grandchildren. And, you know, the more food that's grown locally, the better. The less petroleum that has to be used to ship food from all over the world into Seattle and our other cities, the better. And that's just really one of my hopes, that people will start to see that putting that seed in the ground makes a difference in so many ways, and it tastes better.
I just want to follow up with that. Gardening, to me, it's like a gateway drug to all environmentalism. If you know how to care for and tend a vegetable, it makes you understand why plants are important. Why would a tree be important? You know, and it really creates a connection to the living world around us that I think is often lacking. I mean, computers and the internet and things like that are so engaging and so immediately available at this time for all of us. And what a blessing that is. And at the same time, we can't lose sight of the fact that these living, alive things around us are so important. And I think a garden just really helps us stay centered in that and really helps us stay centered in our humanity.
There's a Hebrew saying, tikkun olam, healing the earth, healing the world. And Temple B'nai Torah in Bellevue has a mitzvah garden, you know, doing a good thing for another person. And the men's group built this garden. And now the preschool gardens, the preschool farms it. And then the children take that food themselves and walk it over to Hope Link for their neighbors. And in so many different ways, they are healing the world in those simple acts.
How can listeners get involved?
We have garden builds coming up. We definitely need help on Thursday, March 13th from 10 until 2 will be on Capitol Hill. The last Saturday of every month, we build gardens, and we build anywhere from 3 to 15 gardens at a time. So there's a lot of soil to move, there's boards to nail together, there's seeds to plant. So justgarden.org is our website, and if building gardens isn't necessarily where you want to interact, we have other opportunities. And SeattleTilth.org is our parent organization.
The plant start sale, there will be one in about a week and a half.
On March 15th?
On March 15th, and then another really big one in May at our main office in Wallingford. And it's not just a plant sale, it's a party. And it's just a lot of fun. So I think those are two ways people can be involved.
And how about the people who would like a garden themselves? How can they go about getting one?
Justgarden.org. We've got a little tab that says gardens, and then underneath it, it says apply for a garden. And we've got it in English and Spanish. And if you don't have access to the internet, you can always call our office at 206-633-0451, and we're extension 116. We can take your call and walk you through the application process.
And any churches, synagogues, mosques, you name it, that would like to get involved, go to that same website and get in touch with us. And even if you're not involved with any organized religion, but you've got a friend or a family member or a neighbor that is, or if you walk past a church that's got a lot of grass that needs some vegetables in it, get in touch with us.
Yeah, the Food and Faith Initiative on our website is under About Us. You click on the About Us, and Food and Faith Initiative is right underneath there.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Plant a seed.
Plant a seed.
Yeah.
I would say that I like the future is abundant, but it's our job to make it that way. And it's fun, and it's easy, and we need your help.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You were just listening to Stephanie Salija Soulseed, founder and director of the Just Garden Project, a program of Seattle Tilth, and Brian Sellers-Peterson, leader of the Just Garden Project's Food and Faith Initiative. For more information, check on the web at justgarden.org. Again, that's justgarden.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on demand, and then podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on Listener Powered 90.3 FM and kexp.org.